Thank you, Sue. Good morning, everyone. It's only just a couple of announcements today. There's our meeting in the hall at 11 o'clock that Les will lead. And the annual congregational meeting's a bit earlier this year. It'll be 4 weeks today on the 8th of March. And Wayne's coffee morning is this week at Oscar and Charlie's, just down around the corner from the service station. That's all. Thanks, Les.
Thanks, Bob. It's always important to know where the coffee's on this week. So. All right. Well, we're going to worship our wonderful God. And in Psalm 138, we read these words. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. Rob's going to come and do the Bible reading for us, the Old Testament reading.
The first lesson today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 to 7. It's on page 603 of the Pew Bible, and the heading is Israel's Only Saviour. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes, and honoured, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I shall gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by not my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made.
And Jason is going to do our New Testament reading.
Reading from Revelations chapter 3, verses 7 to 13. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie, behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world, to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Well, let's have a look at God's word. And today we're going to look at this young church called the Church in Philadelphia. And again, it's one of those places that was planted. And it's in what we would call modern-day Turkey. But as we do, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word today, we just pray that you would speak to us through it, refresh us or challenge us, whatever you want to do within our hearts today. May we listen to what you are saying, for your whole counsel is effective in our daily lives. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we have been working through it, this whole series of little churches, we come to this one today. It's a young church in this town that Christ is writing through to, and he is using words of challenge but also words of encouragement. And as we know, it's not just for that church in that town a long time ago, but whatever we read in the scriptures applies to us today as well. And I know sometimes I read the scriptures and I read it and I'll say, no, that's got to be for somebody else, God. I don't want that one. Well, that's how it goes. God writes it. And so these words are for us as well today. We look at this letter though, you'll notice if you've been following the ones that have gone before, there is something really interesting in this letter that's missing from the others. Christ is still speaking, and there is obviously some issues going on, and he speaks to the people very clearly. But you'll notice that there's one little thing here, that as he opens up to them and challenges them about what they are doing, a little bit different, because he doesn't actually call on them to repent. It's not there. He doesn't just bluntly say you need to repent. What this one is saying, what Christ is saying to them today, is what a couple of the others have said, but more importantly, you need to do better. That's what he's saying. You need to do better. Yeah, he's dealing with a sinful people, not quite up to the mark. He deals with us the same as well. But they hold what they call here, they're known to him. They hold the key of David, reminding them that Christ is in total control over all those who enter the kingdom of heaven. It is he who controls the door. It is he, as we know, the shepherd and the sheepfold. No one comes in except through him. He opens the door. He calls people to himself. That's what the first few verses are all about. The words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your words. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. He's talking about the door into life. He is the one who opens it and the one who shuts it. We are able to share about this door, to share about Jesus. He calls people into his kingdom. You sit here as a believer, he has called you into his kingdom. He has opened the door for you. This young church in Philadelphia, the people there, he has opened the door for them, those who repent and believe in him. He has opened the door for those who accept his word. But he is also closing a door. Closing a door for those who are happy to live with Satan. That's the door that is closed. Those who are content to live under the headship of the evil one instead of the lordship of Christ. He declares here that he knows them and he knows their deeds as well. So he knows who they are. The door is open. What does he want? What does he want? He warns of the dangers for those who are stuck, who are still content to follow the evil one. So what does he want us to do? What does he want this young church at Philadelphia to do? He knows their works. He knows what is happening. Verse 8, I've read it before. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Here he is, reminding us to share the message, to talk about the way to our Heavenly Father. Are you telling the truth? Are you sharing how people can find this door? How people can find the Saviour? Or are you letting others do it? In your daily walk, are you trusting your God every single day? Are you trusting in the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Are you then accepting and ready to use the doors that God opens to you? And this is another part of a door. The opportunities for you to share your faith in King Jesus. So the door is open to Jesus. But also the doors get opened for you to talk to people about Jesus. And this is the other part of it. This is the other part of this passage. Are you working for King Jesus? Are you available for the opportunities to tell people about Jesus? He opens a door for you to go through and work for him. Think about it in this way. Missionaries have a wonderful, people want to go into the mission field. And they try and tell God where they want to go. Many years ago, my brother actually decided when he felt called to go into the mission field. And he spent so much time in prayer because he knew, I want to go here, I want to go there. Where? But his prayer was for God to open a door for him to serve him. My mother freaked out, because she had visions of him going to Outer Mongolia or, you know, some place in the Middle East where you don't survive very long. But he had to test what door was open for him to serve his God. And it ended up he stayed in Australia. In administration for a mission organisation. And he did it for quite a few years. But look at the scriptures. And you'll see how God uses his people. But you go back to Paul. A wonderful example. He tried to tell God where he wanted to go, didn't he? He tried to tell him, I want to go over to Macedonia. And God said, no, that door's shut, mate. You ain't going there. I want you to go here. It's in Acts 14. They went. They wanted to do the work. But the door was shut. But another door opened for him to take the message just to those people there, to share the wonderful truths of the grace of God. We are all workers in the harvest field. We need to be able to trust God, to let him open the doors for you and for me, to tell of our faith, to tell of our hope in King Jesus. And this is what he's talking about to these people. He's encouraging them to make his name known, to share the truth. So what does he do? He doesn't just simply say, get out there and work. He doesn't just simply say, here's the door, it's open, get in there and do it. Wouldn't that be terrifying? You don't know what's behind the door. You don't know where. No. He encourages these people, and he encourages each one of us as well to step out in faith. As you and I, every one of God's children, work for him and look for these avenues and places for us to share the hope, we have a beautiful strength and promise in Revelation 3, 10 and 12, 10 to 12. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God, out of heaven, and my own know my name. Security is what we have. Security is what we enjoy. We ought to thank our God for that security. Workers for him in the harvest field, stretching ourselves, but trusting in our God, going that extra mile to serve him, but thank him because he chooses us and guides us where we are to work for him. It could be in your own family. It could be with your children, or your grandchildren, and maybe for some of you, great-grandchildren. Yeah. But it might not be. It could be the neighbour over the back fence. Or it could be somebody sitting, you know, when you go for coffee on a whatever day of the week, or I think it's Wayne's goes every day of the week, but that's all right, we won't tell him. But you might be able to have the opportunity of sharing the truth about Jesus with someone sitting in a table that you don't even know. Because they might have heard you talking with other believers around your coffee about your Lord. God will open doors for all of us. Very easy to hide behind the cup and hear what they were saying. Pretend they're not there. But we have this truth. We need to put our faith into action. We need to show that we trust our God. We hold fast to what we have. And so we are prepared to share the truth about Jesus. The service of the Lord brings such wonderful blessings. So why do we hesitate to serve him? Remember, we're not working in our own strength or our own brilliance, our own special skills with words, but we are totally dependent upon our Lord. We need to overcome the temptation to close our eyes to the work that God wants us to do for him. Look for those opportunities. Look for the door that God opens for you to share. He will preserve you. He will strengthen you. He will protect you. We know in the scriptures he will give you the words to say. Won't he? And we can try Moses, well, I can't speak properly. I don't know how to say all these things. But it could be the person sitting next to you having coffee with you from the church who you're able to tap on the shoulder. Remember, Moses cried it. And God said, hang on, Aaron's already on his way. You ain't getting out of it. And so he did go. He did share. He did tell of the door to salvation. We have this wonderful promise. We are challenged, but we are helped each and every day. Work for the Lord. Work for him in the places that he gives you to work. Trust him because he will open doors and guide you each and every day. Don't get caught up in the temple of Satan. Don't get caught up in that sort of world. But you have the answer for those who are caught up in that world, because you have the truth about Jesus, our Saviour. Do you trust him enough to work for him? Do you trust him enough? Or are you content to say, I'll let the other people do it? Do you? And don't try and say, oh, I can't speak. Because one of the most wonderful ways for anybody to use that open door that God has placed before you is to pray. How many of you grandmothers and great-grandmothers sitting here today are constantly praying for your children and grandchildren and maybe great, that they will come to know the Lord? You do, don't you? Because that's important. And that's part of the door being opened by God for you to work for him. It might be praying, but it also means sharing your hope in King Jesus. These people in this church at Philadelphia were struggling at times to serve the Lord. But at least they were trying to do it, trying to do their best under the strength and power and wisdom and guidance of their God. You and I must look to our Lord for strength and for help as he opens the doors for us to share the hope that we have in King Jesus. But remember, as he opens the door, we are then to tell them about the one true door, Jesus himself. That's what it's all about. We are blessed, we are encouraged, we are strengthened. You will never do it in your own strength, but that is the joy of serving the Lord. Look forward to what he wants you to do and do it. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, as we focus on your word today, we are challenged. Like this little church in Philadelphia, the people were trying to serve you, were encouraged each and every day, but they could still do more. And that's what you say to each and every one of us, Heavenly Father. You can still do more. Don't be content with where you're at. The door has been opened for people to come to faith in King Jesus. The door has been opened and he will not shut it for those who he is calling to himself. But Heavenly Father, as we seek to serve you, you do open doors for each one of us, opportunities as we call them, to tell of our hope in King Jesus, to tell of Jesus, the door to life eternal with you. Heavenly Father, help us, we pray. Help us to be those consistent workers for you in the harvest field. Help us, Heavenly Father, not to get caught up in the synagogue of Satan, but to rejoice in the truth that we know to be. Guide us, Heavenly Father. We are workers for you in the harvest field, and may we serve you through that each and every day. Pray all this in Jesus' name.